सहनावतु सहनो भुनक्तु सह वीर्यं करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः हरिः Before we proceed any further, let us not forget to do one particular mantra which was Swami Vivekananda's favorite. So we should do that. No, here it is this one. Natatra Suryovati, that one. All those things. Swami Vivekananda really loved it. So now let's just do it and we will all understand it now. Because whatever we did yesterday, it forms the basis of this mantra. This mantra is 2.2.15. This mantra is from Kathopanishad. 2.2.15. 2.2.15. Natatra Suryobhati, this one. I will chant it and you repeat after me. And we'll quickly go through that. Swami Vivekananda loved it so much for its poetry and its deep philosophy. And often in the United States, when he was lecturing here and in Europe, in England and other places, he would chant it in his sonorous voice, melodious Sanskrit, and then translate and explain it. He also put it in the Khandana Bhava Bandhana, the Aratrika song, which is sung in all Ramakrishna mission everywhere. Here also you sing it. Namo Namo Prabhu. Vakya Manatita. Jyotira Jyoti Ujala Ridikandara. Light of lights, which shines in our heart. What is that? It's exactly what we studied yesterday. Mm-hmm. The light which is hidden in the five koshas.
Yes.
Pancha koshastha, pancha kosha, vilakshana atma. Yeah. That consciousness which is there right now. None of this is speculation. None of this is philosophical speculation. None of this is theory. It is just telling us what we are experiencing now. Drawing our attention to what exists right now. Right now we have the five koshas. Do we not have a body? Yes. Is there not prana in the body? Yes. Do we not think and feel? Of course. Do we not understand, conceive of some things in the intellect? Yes. Is there not a complete blankness which we experience daily in our lives beyond the intellect when everything shuts down? Deep sleep? Yes. And are these not the five aspects of our personality? True. That's all that there is. What else is there when we look at ourselves? What else is there? These are the five koshas. And that which knows these five koshas, which experiences these five koshas, Vedanta draws our attention to that. That is the life. Namo Namo Prabhu, that one. Jyotira Jyoti Ujala Ridikandara. The light of lights. What is the light of lights? That one. Now let us read this verse, this mantra. Natatra suryo bhati,
natatra suryo bhati,
na chandra tarakam,
na chandra tarakam,
nema vidyuto bhanti,
nema vidyuto bhanti,
kuto yam agni,
kuto yam agni,
tameva bhantam,
tameva bhantam,
anubhati sarvam,
anubhati sarvam,
tasya bhasam,
tasya bhasa,
sarvamidam vibhati,
sarvamidam vibhati.
So very beautiful verse, very poetic verse. What does it mean? Where the sun does not shine, natatra suryo bhati. Na chandra tarakam, neither the moon shines there nor the stars shine. Nema vidyuto bhanti, the lightning cannot illumine that with a capital T, that Brahman, lightning cannot illumine that. Kuto ayam agni, what to speak of this little fire which we have. Imagine ancient India, people sitting around at night around a fire. What to speak of this little fire? It cannot illumine Brahman. So there the sunlight will not reach, nor moonlight, nor the starlight, nor lightning, so no light which we are aware of. Rather, the opposite. He says, Tameva Bhantam. That light shining, the light of Atman shining, all of these shine. Tameva Bhantam Anubhati Sarvam. That shining, after it shines sun and moon and stars and lightning, what does it mean? It is because of your own consciousness that you are aware of the sunlight, moonlight. Everything in this room is illumined by the sunlight coming through that. Without that, we cannot see anything. But the sunlight itself requires your consciousness. Unless you are conscious, the sunlight also will not be revealed. What can the sunlight do if I am not conscious? So ultimately, it is my own consciousness, the consciousness within us, which reveals the entire world. Every light, light is that which illumines. But every light illumines only after it has been illumined by consciousness. Only when we are aware, when we are awake, when we know, then only all these lights become effective. So not only gross light, the light of the sun, the light of this electricity or the moon or lightning or whatever, not only gross material light, that's material light, but also the light of our speech. How is speech light? In Upanishad you get this thing, you know. How in a daytime, how do people go around in their life and work and do things? How do they go out of their house and do work and come back into the house? The answer comes by the light of the sun. At night, says, when the Surya, when the sun has set, at night, by what is light for humanity at night? How do people move around and talk and see each other? By the moonlight. Then the question is, when the sun and the moon have set, by what light do people transact their business? So by the light of the fire. When the sun and the moon have set and the fire is doused, by what light do people know the existence of other people? By the light of voice. You know, in a dark room, no light is there. Is anybody here? He said, I am here. By that voice, that is the light by which we know. Speech is a kind of light. When all is quiet, sun has set, moon has set, fire has been put out, and everything is silent, by what light does a person know his own existence? By the light of consciousness. That is the ultimate light, your own consciousness. Because of consciousness, speech can function. Because of consciousness, you can see in daytime and nighttime and by the light of the fire. So everything depends on consciousness. That being there, everything does its function. Without that, nothing can. And none of them can reveal consciousness. Sunlight cannot reveal consciousness. It is consciousness which reveals sunlight. Neither moonlight, nor starlight, nor the fire. Not even speech can reveal consciousness. It is consciousness which reveals speech. That is what is meant here. Tameva Bhantam. That consciousness shining. Tameva Bhantam. That consciousness which you are. That shining. The world shines after that. Anubhati Sarvam. Tameva Bhantam. Anubhati Sarvam. By the light of that consciousness, after that shines, everything else shines. Tasya Bhasa, by the light of that consciousness, Sarvam Idam Vibhati, everything in this world is illumined. By which, whose light? Oh, by the light of some consciousness they talk about in Vedanta, in Kathopanishad. No, by you. By the you, by the real you which has been revealed by the Panchakosha Vichara we did yesterday. By that light, everything in this universe is revealed. So such beautiful poetry. In a very poetic way, it is revealed. Swami Vivekananda praises not only the philosophy of the Upanishads, but he says the sheer poetry of the Upanishads. Now, the central teaching of Advaita Vedanta, all the Upanishads, they have one teaching. Can you tell me in one sentence what it is? That Atma and Brahman are one and the same. Tat Tvamasi, thou art that. You are Brahman. I am Brahman. This is the central teaching of the Upanishads. God, the divine and the human are one reality. Divine and the human are one reality. When you say, I am Brahman, to understand that, Vedanta teaches all these things. That I is not the I which we use ordinarily. this person, this body and mind, this Swami Sarvapriyananda, this is not God. This is not God. It may be the opposite, D-O-G, but it's not G-O-D. But then which is, when I say I am Brahman, what is meant by that in the Upanishads? What is meant by that in the Upanishads is the I which we found out yesterday. Not the body, not the prana, not the mind, not the intellect, not even the deep darkness of deep sleep. The witness of all of this, the unchanging consciousness, the innermost consciousness. That is what is meant when you say Aham Brahmasmi. Aham means I. I am Brahman. That I is Brahman. That pure consciousness is Brahman. All this is expressed in the so-called Mahavakyas. In Vedanta, Mahavakyam does not mean a long sentence. Vakya sentence, Maha big, does not mean a long sentence. These sentences are very small in fact. Very brief, concise. They all say the same thing. You are Brahman. Conventionally, we take four Mahavakyas, one from each Veda. So, from Rig Veda, we take Pragyanam Brahma, from Aitareya Upanishad. Aitareya Upanishad, Rig Veda, the Mahavakya is Pragyanam Brahma. What is Pragyana? Nothing other than the consciousness which we are experiencing right now. That consciousness by which we are functioning, that is called Pragyana. That Pragyanam in itself is Brahman. Not the body and mind with which it is mixed up. But the Pragyanam in itself, pure consciousness, is Brahman. Come to Samaveda. The famous Mahavakya Tattvamasi, we find it in Chandogya Upanishad, in Samaveda. Sixth chapter. 9 times it is repeated. Tattvamasi Shvetaketu, Tattvamasi Shvetaketu. That thou art. That Brahman. Tat Sat. Thou, O Shvetaketu, your real nature. Which real nature? Not the body of Shvetaketu. Not the prana, not the mind, not the... Shvetaketu is a student there, the son of the teacher. And not the intellect, not the Anandamaya Kosha, none of them. But the pure consciousness which is the witness of these Panchakoshas. That Shvetaketu, that thou art, that is you, you are Brahman. Come to Yajurveda, in Vedaranyaka Upanishad. Aham Brahmasmi, direct. I am Brahman, but which I? As long as we think we are body and mind, we have no right to say Aham Brahmasmi. How is the body Brahman? At least to begin with. It is born, it changes, it grows old, it decays, it falls ill, dies. So Brahman is growing old and falling ill and dying? No. Body cannot be Brahman. So when I say I am the body, then I cannot say I am Brahman. Rather, apart from the Panchakosha, Annamaya, Pranamaya, Manomaya, Vijnanamaya, Anandamaya, apart from it, the witness of all of this, that I, Aham, Brahmasmi, that is Brahman. Come to Atharva Veda, Mandukya Upanishad. I am Atma Brahma means this very Atman within. Within what? Within the 5 koshas. The one which we found out yesterday. That very Atman is Brahman. What is Brahman? Existence, consciousness, bliss. The source of this universe. In other words, what is the Upanishad saying? You, the real you, and God are one and the same reality. In fact, as the real you, you are the reality behind this entire universe. You are the ground of this entire universe. So, that is the central idea of the Upanishads. Yesterday, what did we do? We did 2 things. In the first session, we saw the preliminaries of spiritual life. Because I'm calling it preliminary, let us not ignore it. That is the foundation and fundamental of spiritual life. If somebody has done that, he has done whatever is needed to be done in spiritual life, really. The rest of it is pretty easy. If we have not done that and we read loads, tons of Vedanta books, it's of no use. At the point of death, Nahi nahi rakshati dukrin karane, bhajagovindam, bhajagovindam, bhajagovindam mudamati. Shankaracharya saw one young brahmachari memorizing Sanskrit grammar. So one minor sutra, dukrin karane, he's doing that. And Shankaracharya said, he took pity on that young scholar. He said, at the point of death, when Yama comes for you, Katopanishad, Yama, when Yama comes for you, your Dukrin Karani, your Sanskrit grammar will not save you. Then what will save you? Worship the Lord, worship the Lord, worship the Lord. Bhaja Govindam, Bhaja Govindam, Bhaja Govindam, Modamati. There is no time to waste. Yama is ever busy. He'll come out on tour. The to-do list. Okay, this fellow. In such and such ICU. Time up. I have to go and pick him up there. At that point, if you know that you are not the body, you know that you are not the mind, you know your existence, consciousness, bliss, you are the very reality of Yama himself. Yama cannot do anything. Yama depends on you for his own existence. Yes, Yama will take away the body. But you are not the body. That clarity must be there. That conviction must be there. That feeling should be there. Then Yama cannot touch you. But otherwise, we are very much within the realm of Yama. If we have identified with the body, I am this body, then everything that happens to the body is happening to me. I cannot deny it. So, the Upanishad now will show us, will do a series of mantras. It will show us that consciousness which we realized in the second session yesterday, apart from the five koshas, that consciousness is actually Brahman. You see, what we have done yesterday is not Advaita. We have divided the entire universe into two things. You, the consciousness, and everything else. You, the consciousness, and everything else. You, the witness, the Atman, and everything else, Anatman, not self. How is it different from an ordinary person? The ordinary person who has not gone into all these Vedantic complications will say, I, by I, the ordinary person means up to the skin. From inside, whatever is here, this much is me. This is what an ordinary person means. And everything else apart from this skin, outside this skin, everything else is not me. That's what we normally feel. That's the beginning. That's the level of ignorance. What has Vedanta done? Yesterday, what did we see? Even this body is also not me. The life processes flowing through this body, it's also an object, not me. Even the thoughts which are going through my mind, even Vedantic thoughts, not me. Why not me? Because I am the observer of those things. They come and go. I see. Even the intellect which studies Vedanta, not me. And beyond the intellect, the darkness of deep sleep, that also not me. So consciousness is me. Consciousness means the one which knows all these things. That's me. And every other object is not me. But this is not Advaita. Advaita means non-dual. Here, certainly duality is there. Consciousness and everything non-conscious. Chaitanya and Jada. Drashta and Drishya. Atma and Anatma. This duality persists. Two. Advaita, not two. But here we have two. We have billions and trillions of things, but all of that is put under Drishya. And you are the Drashta. Now Advaita will tell us, all that Drishya has no existence apart from you, the Drashta. It is mithya, it's an appearance. It has no existence of its own. All existence belongs to you, you, the Drashta. So it becomes the Advaita of the Drashta, apart from the Drashta, not two. I'll repeat that again. Advaita will tell you, now having divided everything into Atma and Atma, Drashta and Drishya, now consciousness and non-conscious. Now, all that is non-conscious, all that is drishya, all that is anatma, will be reduced to you, the atma. Reduced to you means it is nothing apart from you. You are the reality. You are experiencing yourself only through names and forms. What I had separated from myself, now again I will engulf into myself. That will give me one atma, one chaitanyam, one consciousness, apart from which nothing else exists. Since no second thing exists apart from you, no two, no second, non-dual, Advaita. Duality, Dvaita. Advaita. That's what's going to happen now. You see, we read, that shining, everything else shines. You're reading that just now? Tameva bhantam anubhati sarvam, tasya bhasa sarvam idam vibhati. By its consciousness, everything else is illumined. Not only by its consciousness is everything else illumined, by its existence, Sat, everything else gets existence. right? Here you have maybe 20 pieces of wooden furniture. If you count 20, how many are there? 20. But if you look at the wood itself, from the point of wood, how many are there?
One.
One only. So no, there are 20. Can you say that there is wood and 20 pieces of furniture separate from the wood? No. If you take the wood away from the furniture, furniture will collapse, disappear. You will be pretty soon sitting on the ground. The wood alone is real. There is no second thing apart from the wood in the furniture, in the tables or chairs. The wood alone is real. Similarly, that Chaitanyam which you are, that Chaitanyam, its existence alone is there. Because of its existence, everything else seems to exist. If it did not exist, nothing else would exist. So, everything borrows existence from you, the Chaitanyam, to exist. First of all, what is done is, you take an object and you said that there is a cause to that object. Then we see that the cause pervades the entire object. Then we see that the cause alone exists, that object has no existence apart from the cause. Let me explain. A pot is there, ghata. That is the favorite example. Because in those ancient times, I think they had lots of pots probably. And somebody said, if you go and excavate an ancient civilization, what do you, what's the first thing you come up with? Pottery. Broken pots or something. So a pot. There's a pot in front of you. Nice round pot is there. Now, we are told, it's an effect, its cause is clay. Pot is an effect, its cause is clay. Number one. Number two, take a look at the pot. Outside it is clay, inside it is clay, top it is clay, bottom it is clay. In fact, through and through it is clay only. Third stage, that pot has no existence apart from the clay. Fourth and conclusion, clay alone exists. There is no pot apart from that clay. Clay alone exists. It is clay only. No second thing is there apart from that clay. No second reality is there. Now you will say, what happened? What is the use of it? The pot is still sitting there nice and round. What did you accomplish by this? What you accomplished is this. First, before all this, if somebody asked you, what is it? You would say, it's a pot. After this process, if somebody asks you, what is it? You will say, it is clay. We started with pot drishti, ghata drishti. We ended up with mrittika drishti, clay drishti. Vedanta, we begin Vedanta with jagat drishti. What is this jagat? Who are you? Jiva. You end with Brahma drishti. I am Brahman, everything is Brahman. Although it still seems, it looks like that. Let me repeat the process. Ghata is there. We are told it's an effect, its cause is clay. Stage 1. Cause and effect. Next, that it is, if you examine the ghata, inside, outside, above, below, it is only clay. Name and form is there. Name is ghata and form is like this. But if you see the substance itself, everywhere you say it's clay only. Stage 2. Stage 3, this ghata has no existence apart from the clay. The pot has no existence apart from the clay. If you remove the clay, will a little bit of the ghata be left? Nothing will be left. It will become zero. It will vanish. Fourth stage, it is clay only. There is no such thing as a ghata there. Ghata mithya, clay or mittika satyam. In the same way, we start with jagat. Jiva jagat. And we see, apart from Satchidananda, we are told that it is an effect. Its cause is Brahman. Satchidananda. Then when we examine everything, we find only existence and consciousness with name and form. Existence and consciousness with name and form. Satchidananda with name and form only. That is this world. And then we come to the conclusion, everything here is Satchidananda. Name and form have no existence of their own. And the fourth stage is, Satchidananda alone is true, name and form is false. Brahma Satyam, Jagat Mithya. Sri Ramakrishna, Swami Brahmananda records, Sri Ramakrishna was once asked, can you teach me spirituality in one sentence? And Sri Ramakrishna said, alright, sentence is, Brahma Satyam Jagat Mithya. The Jiva Brahma Iva Napara, he did not say that also. Brahman satyam jagat mithya. He said Brahma satya jagat mithya, eti dharana karo. Brahma satyam jagat mithya, assimilate this truth. And Brahma, Swami Brahmananda writes, having said this, Sri Ramakrishna kept quiet. Iha boliya tini chup kuriya rail. What does it mean? Swami Brahmananda wants to emphasize it, that this is all that there is to spirituality. Sri Ramakrishna often used to say this in other words also. Bhagavani vastu arshava vastu. When we start Vedanta, in Vedanta Sara, the one sentence which I always used to emphasize to the brahmacharis in Belur Math, the essential key sentence, only one takeaway from the entire book, in whole of Vedanta, is the one sentence is there. Vastu Sachidananda Madvayam Brahma Ajnanadi Sakala Jada Samuha Avastu. Vastu, reality, is Sat Chit Ananda Brahma. Starting from Ajnana, Anandamaya Kosha, everything else is Avastu, non-real, Mithya. Starting from Ajnana means Anandamaya Kosha, Vijnanamaya Kosha, Manomaya Kosha, Pranamaya Kosha, Annamaya Kosha, and beyond the Pancha Kosha, entire universe, all of that is name and form. The reality is Satchidananda Brahma. Now, before we do this, let me quickly give you some concepts, which will just the framework of Vedanta. This Satchidananda Brahma, which alone is real, which alone appears as the world of our experience, as Jagat and as us, the Jiva with Pancha Kosha. This Satchidananda Brahma, with its inexplicable power which projects this name and form. Without name and form, we won't be able to experience it. This, with this inexplicable power which projects name and form, this inexplicable power is called Maya. Satchidananda Brahma plus Maya is called Saguna Brahman or Ishvara. New term. Nirguna Brahman is Satchidananda. Add Maya to it, it becomes Ishvara or Saguna Brahman. Then he says, Swamiji, add Maya to it, then is there duality? Other than Brahman, are you adding something to it? Satchidananda Brahma plus Maya, when you say, isn't it two then? Not two. Because the power, Maya, has no existence of its own. It as existence, only Satchidananda is real. Right? So its status of Maya is, they call it anirvachaniya. You cannot say it has its own existence, and yet you cannot say it does not exist. Why not? Because you experience this world of names and forms. So there must be some cause of this names and forms. That which gives names and forms to Brahman and makes us experience Brahman in this way, that is Maya. So, first takeaway from this is Satchidananda Brahma plus Maya is called Ishvara. One. Now Maya, Satchidananda Brahma cannot be divided. Brahman cannot be divided, indivisible, akhanda, its another name is akhanda. It cannot be divided. Only that which has parts can be divided. Akhanda Brahma cannot be divided. I remember many years ago, when we were in Saradapit in near Belur Math, the Swami was in charge there. A very dynamic, very senior Swami. Now, it has many departments, many different small institutions are there under that ashram. One of the ashrams, one of the institutions is called Janasiksha Mandir. And the Swami in charge there, a gentleman came, a donor, who wanted to donate some money for that institution which takes care of poor children. So, the gentleman said, I'll put up a plaque there in the name of my father and mother. And what will be written, the inscription is, in as a mark of our respect, offering to Sri Ramakrishna, who as an amsha, as a part of Satchidananda Brahma came down here, as a khanda of Satchidananda, as a khanda of the akhanda has come down here. Now when he saw this inscription, the senior Swami who was there, the in charge of the Swami of the center, he said, no, I will never allow this. Akhanda cannot be made khanda. Akhanda, we cannot put this thing. It's wrong, Vedantically wrong. There cannot be a part of a khanda of akhanda. How can there be a part of the partless Brahman? Akhanda, I will not allow akhanda to be made khanda. Now that Swami who was looking after that particular institution, he's standing outside. And we were being called up, the young Swamis, by the senior Swami. you all young fellows, you read a lot of Vedanta, you tell us, can Akhanda Brahma be made into parts? And we are saying, no Swami, it cannot be made into parts. And that Swami is scolding the other Swami. You see, Akhanda cannot be Khanda. And that other Swami standing, you know, he's saying, I don't know Khanda, Akhanda, all those things, I don't care. Donation should not be Khanda now. Main thing is, I'm expecting the donation for the center. That should not. So, Brahman cannot be divided, but Maya can be divided. Maya has parts. The power of God, Maya, is manifest in each of us as Ajnana, Avidya, as our Anandamaya Kosha. I'll repeat that. Maya is manifest in each of us as Ajnana. That which hides our real nature from us. Brahman is hidden by the veil of Maya. What does it mean? In each of us, there is an ignorance regarding our true nature. That ignorance is a part of Maya. So we have individual ignorance. Total, you take all together, it becomes the power. Somebody said, we are individually ignorant. Then total, if you take together, then Ishwara will be totally ignorant. I am a small fool, Ishwara a bigger fool then. No. So Ramakrishna explained it very well. He said, a cobra, when it puts a little bit of poison into the mouse or the frog will faint or die. That little bit of poison, but all the poison is in the fangs, in the mouth of the cobra. It does not affect the cobra. Not only does not affect the cobra, it is the power of the cobra. That which enables it to hunt and capture prey. So it affects the others. It does not affect the cobra. Little bit of it he puts into everybody, into the prey. Total of it is in the cobra's mouth itself. Sri Ramakrishna says, so in the same way, all the power is the Lord's power. Lord is Mayadhisha, the Lord of Maya. We are Mayadhina. The Shaivas put it in this way. Sri Ramakrishna used to say, Pash Mukta Sheeb, Pash Baddha Jeev, Pashupati, the one who holds the Pasha. The one who holds the Pasha is Shiva. The one who is bound by the Pasha means bond. One who is bound by the Pasha is Jiva. Who are they? Are they two different? No. Bound by Pasha, you are Jiva, Pashu. Free from the Pasha, you are Pashupati, Shiva. Same reality. So, another example is, each of us has one vote. All those are American citizens here, you have got one vote. When you give all the votes, the person who gets those votes becomes president. If you have one vote, you are the ruled. You get all the votes, then you are the ruler. Similarly, all individual ignorance is taken together is the power of the Lord by which he conducts this leela. Power of Saguna Brahman, Ishwara. So Nirguna Brahman, if you add Maya to it, it becomes Saguna Brahman. That's one term we have learned. And when the cosmic mind is projected from Maya, that same Satchidananda Brahman plus Maya plus cosmic mind is called Hiranyagarbha. Let me repeat. New term I've introduced. Second term. First term, Ishwara, Saguna Brahman. Saguna Brahman, Ishwara, same thing. All that we worship as Hindus is an interesting thing to know. Ganesha, Shiva, Durga, Kali, Vishnu, all these gods and goddesses we worship, they are all names and forms of the same Ishwara Saguna Brahman. Sri Ramakrishna says, what you call, what Vedanta calls Saguna Brahman, I call Kali. Clearly says. What you call Ishwara, I call Mahamaya. So, Saguna Brahman plus the cosmic mind becomes Hiranyagarbha. Second term I have introduced here. Satchidananda Brahma plus Maya is equal to Saguna Brahman. Satchidananda Brahma plus Maya plus cosmic mind. All our minds put together, subtle bodies put together. Hiranyagarbha. One more term. Satchidananda Brahma plus Maya plus cosmic mind plus cosmic body. All bodies taken together, all physical universe taken together is called Virat. three terms I've introduced. Ishvara or Saguna Brahman, Ishvara oblique Saguna Brahman. Number two, Hiranyagarbha, cosmic mind. Number three, Virat, cosmic body. Each of them, what is it? It's the same Satchidananda Brahman with a new uniform. So Virat is Satchidananda Brahman with Maya, with cosmic mind, with cosmic body. Hiranyagarbha is also Satchidananda Brahman. It is Satchidananda Brahman plus Maya plus cosmic mind. You go further back, Ishvara or Bhagavan or Saguna Brahman is same Satchidananda Brahman with Maya only. This is at the cosmic level. Come to the individual level, our level. Corresponding to Ishvara, our existence is called Pragya. When you, the consciousness in deep sleep, when we, I, the consciousness, or you, the consciousness in deep sleep, what is our condition? Consciousness plus ignorance. That individual ignorance. That much only. We have no idea of our own mind, we have no idea of our body. Then far less the universe. Only blankness. Then your term, the term applied by Vedanta to you is Pragya. It's from Mandukya Upanishad. Pragya. When you, the consciousness, you are dreaming. What do you have then? Consciousness, that same Satchidananda Brahman. Plus individual ignorance. Plus individual mind. In dreams you have got only the mind. Mind creates its own world. Then your name becomes, the same Satchidananda Brahman's name becomes Taijasa. T-A-I-J-A-S-A. Taijasa. And the same Satchidananda Brahman, with the individual ignorance, with the individual mind and the individual body, who comes and sits in the Vedanta class, now your name becomes Vishwa. V-I-S-W-A. Vishwa. Vishwa does not mean the world here. It means you. Right now. I have introduced six terms. Three pairs. Ishvara, Pragya. That's one pair. That's the causal pair at the causal level. Second pair, Hiranyagarbha, Taijasa. At the subtle level, mind level. Third pair, Virat, Vishwa. At the gross level, right now. This entire universe taken together with the consciousness behind it is called Virat. That same consciousness with each body is called Vishwa. How many Vishwas are there? Vishwa will be many. Virat will be one. How many Taijasas, how many dreamers are there? Every time you fall asleep, you are a dreamer. And many people are dreaming. Many, even animals, higher animals seem to have dreams. REM sleep. So there are many Taijasas. So, individual level, cosmic level. All of these differences are caused by Maya. In reality, Advaita is very simple. It says, only Satchidananda exists. If you feel, all this is too much complicated, what? Taijasa, Vishwa, Pragya? Forget it. Satchidananda Brahman alone is real, that's what you are. But if you want an explanation, Upanishad says, what is this now? How would you describe this? He says, you are that Satchidananda Brahman, which you discovered yesterday by Panchakosha Vichara, plus individual ignorance, plus one mind, plus one body. Now your name will be, only name of that same Satchidananda will be Vishwa. We have so many names, Jack and Jill and Ram and Sham, all these names, but all of us are from Vedanta point of view only Vishwa. When we dream, that consciousness which we are is called Taijasa. When we are in deep sleep, that consciousness which we are is called Pragya. From a cosmic point of view, from the total point of view, remember, total and individual are not in Brahman. It's caused by Maya. From a total point of view, that consciousness in its causal state is called Ishvara. In its subtle state is called Hiranyagarbha. In its gross state is called Virat. Now the rest will be very simple. Today we will now see Atma Swarupam. Come to 2.1.3. We'll just go through a series of mantras. I will recite it, you don't have to recite. I will explain the meanings, because they are said in very poetic language. With this framework in mind, you will immediately grasp what they are saying. Those who have the book, 2.1.3. 2.1.3. I will recite and I will simply explain and we'll go through it pretty fast. Yena rupam rasam gandham shabdans parshans cha maithunan ete naiva vijanati kimatra parishishyate etad vaitat. Oh Nachiketa, remember Yama is telling all this. That consciousness by which you are experiencing what? Rupa. How are you experiencing? With the eyes you are seeing Rupa. Consciousness plus mind plus eyes, you see Rupa. At what level? At the visual level. You are now, you think you are Nachiketa. You are seeing so many things. You, the consciousness, are now at visual level. With the mind and the body and with the eyes, you are seeing the world. Rupa. Rasam. You eat something. Taste something. Consciousness, mind, tongue. With an object, you taste it. That consciousness alone. Gandham, smell. Shabdan, sound. You are hearing the talk. Sparshan, touch. You can feel it. That consciousness which enables you to do all this, maithunan, any kind of sensuous experience which we have throughout our lives, all of it is made possible by that consciousness alone. He says, ete naiva vijanati. By that consciousness alone, everything is known. Rupa, rasa, gandha, sparsha, shabda. Kimatra parishishyate. Nothing else is left out here. Every experience in life you have, good, bad and ugly, there's a movie was there. Good, bad and ugly, every experience you have is made possible by that consciousness alone, which you are. He says, etadvaitat. Oh Nachiketa, what you asked about, the nature of the self, this is that self which you are experiencing now. It's an immortal consciousness. The experiences come and go. Body is mortal. Mind is changing, ever changing. You, the consciousness, are immortal. Because of that consciousness, you are having these experiences. How will I know that consciousness? Foolish question. How will you not know it? You are knowing that consciousness in every experience. You taste so many sweet drinks. Sweet milk, sweet lemonade and sweet water or whatnot. Now how will I taste sugar? In every drink you have taken, you have tasted sugar. In every experience that you have, the Brahmagyani experiences Brahman. We experience the object. And I see the form, I see the form. The Brahmagyani uses the form to become reflexively aware of the consciousness which he is. I hear a sound. The Brahmagyani uses the sound to become reflexively aware of the Satchidananda which he is. Music is being played. Swami Brahmananda is sitting. A bhajan is going to start. The musician is taking a long time to tune the instrument. Others are getting restless. When will it start? When will it start? The tuning sound of the instrument sends Swami Brahmananda into Samadhi. The music or the sound is not important to him. That consciousness in which the music, the sound shines, is revealed. He uses that to go back to that consciousness. That's what it leads him back to. Any great art, any great music, real devotional music, it will always point back to your inner reality. If you get too involved in the art or the music, you're enjoying some sense experience. If it points back to God, it's spiritual. Sometimes you will see very ordinary voice. I've seen a Swami, old Swami. In his younger age, he was a well-known singer. Now, his voice is almost gone and all that. But he's sitting and singing. I have a song, I think. It was like, I still remember. Naam japan kyun chhod diya? Jhoot na choda. Sat vachan kyun chhod diya? You have not given up falsehood, you have not given up deceit. But why did you give up telling the truth? You have not given up this, you have not given up that. Why did you give up chanting the name of the Lord? So that song he's singing so beautifully, I still remember. As music, it's not very sophisticated. Voice is not good. No, not nowadays they will sit with so much orchestra and sing a song. So, as music, it is not very well organized or not very in good tune or anything like that. But it is so touching to the heart. It brings tears to the eyes of everybody sitting there. All are reminded of God and their hearts are uplifted. That is spiritual. It takes you back to what you are. So, Brahmagyani uses the same Rupa, Rasa, Gandha, Sparsha. We experience the world. This we are saying we are experiencing world. We are not getting any spiritual experience. Brahmagyani will see this and go into Samadhi. Big crowd. We don't like crowd. No, spiritual persons, we don't like crowds. Mahapurush Maharaj or even Sri Ramakrishna, going out into a crowd and seeing a crowd of people, it sends him into Samadhi. So much consciousness everywhere. Shining. He says it reminds him of a chandelier. In those days, chandeliers were there. Jhad Pradeep. Chandelier with all, like lots of little bits of light shining through the glass there. It's like, so you can imagine, now you can understand. One consciousness being reflected through so many minds, speaking so many things, thinking so many things, behaving in so many ways. He's seeing the play of one consciousness, his beloved divine mother, in all these forms. He goes into Samadhi. Then again, 2.1.4. Svapnantam jagaritantam chobhau yenanupashyati mahantam vibhumatmanam matvadhiro na shochati. This Atman which you have discovered by Panchakosha, what a remarkable discovery you have made. He says, it is the same consciousness, svapnantam jagaritantam. All the experiences you have in dream, all the experiences you are having now, they are all made possible by that one consciousness which you are. Here you apply the concept of Vishwa and Tejasa. As Vishwa, you are having this waking experience. You, the consciousness, as Tejasa, you will experience a dream. The same consciousness, which is Vishwa here, which is Tejasa there, and when you completely fall asleep, same consciousness will be called Pragya. It is one unchanging consciousness. That is what you are. Realizing that, knowing that to be oneself, dhiro na shochati, the wise person, the enlightened person, does not come under any grief. All our drama in this world is limited to the waking state. It goes away, gone. All the nightmare, terrible dreams we had, when we wake up, what do we say? Tragedy. When you get up, oh, it was only a nightmare. Thank God, it's not real. From the point of view of one consciousness, this Jagratavastha, what we consider to be real, oh, terrible thing, so much suffering, it becomes unreal from that point of view. I'll tell you one thing. Forget the realization of the pure consciousness. Even in deep sleep, all suffering goes away. The person who is suffering the most, sick person dying in the ICU, when that person also gets a little bit of deep sleep, every bit of suffering is forgotten. It's gone. It comes back again when the awareness comes back to this physical world as Vishwa. So, all of this, it comes and goes. That consciousness alone is real. Na shochati. The wise person goes beyond suffering. Remember, realizing this will not cure the disease in the waking state. But it helps you to transcend the suffering. The disease will be there, the pain will be there. I know I am untouched by it. I am the observer itself. When you become the observer, will the pain go away? Advaita is not a painkiller. Or rather, it is the ultimate painkiller. In that sense, it helps you to transcend that pain. Look at the interesting thing. When Hari Maharaj comes and asks Sri Ramakrishna, who is suffering from throat cancer, how are you today, sir? Sri Ramakrishna says, oh, I'm so weak, it hurts here, I cannot eat. Hari Maharaj says to him, Hari, young boy, he says to Sri Ramakrishna, but I see that you are in great joy. It's a cruel thing to say to a person suffering from throat cancer. But what is Sri Ramakrishna's reply? With a big grin, he says, Sala dhore pheleche. The rascal has caught me out. The rascal has caught me. Pakad liya hai humko. there are both sides are there. I have myself seen an old Swami dying at the advanced stage of Parkinson's. Everything shaking in on the bed in Seva Pratishthan. I went and bowed down to him and I said, Swami, how are you today? Oh, he mumbled something I could not hear. But I just said, but Swami, apni to ananda achan, you are in ananda. He is Marathi, so I said in Hindi. To ananda mein hai. That Swami, you could not turn this way and that way and bend the bed. Somehow, I don't know how. I still cannot forget. He suddenly sat up, ramrod straight on the bed. And with big shining eyes, ananda, ananda, ananda. Big shining eyes and big smile. And slowly collapsed back again into the bed. Now, pain will be there. Disease will be there. If it is there, it will be there. It will take its toll on the body. You transcend. You know that you are the witness to it. See, there are only two ways of dealing with suffering in the world. One is the way of the bhakta. You surrender to God. Whatever happens in my life, whatever happens to this body, whatever happens to... I give everything unto you, my Lord. Whatever you will, I am satisfied with that. The bhakta surrenders everything to the Lord. In this way, he dissolves the small ego, the little person. And the jnani, this approach, the second approach is, you ask, who am I? Who is it that suffers? This approach. And you discover beyond the five koshas, that one consciousness beyond suffering. That way also you can go beyond suffering. These are the only two ways. Find out who it is, or surrender the whole thing to God. Then, 2.1.5.
Yaimam madhvadam veda atmanam jiva mantikat ishanam bhuta bhavyasya natato vijugupsate etad vaitat.
Yama says to Nachiketa,
Yaimam madhvadam veda.
That, you use that term now, Vishwa. In this body, the person who says, here I am. Madhvadam. Madhvadam means the one, is our poetic usage. Madhvadam literally means one who sips the honey. What honey is this? It's a very dangerous honey. This is the honey, the result of our past karmas. All the good and bad we have done is coming to us in the form of sukha dukkha. We are experiencing sukha dukkha throughout our lives. You are the honey sipper. Like the hummingbird hovering and sipping honey. We are doing that. That's our life. Throughout the day we get nice, pleasant, unpleasant, and mixed experiences. All are the honey from our past experience, from our past karmas. Who is this? Vishwa. You yourself, Atmanam Jivamantikat. That Atma, Satchidananda, is appearing as the Jiva here. Who is that Satchidananda? None other than Ishanam Bhuta Bhavyasya. The Lord, Saguna Brahman, who is the knower of, who is the controller of past, present and future through Maya. That Satchidananda alone is in this body acting as Vishwa and sipping the honey of its past works, past karma. You are one with, you the Jiva are one with God, Isha. The Jiva who seems to be trapped in this body and experiencing this. You as consciousness are one with Brahman. You are one with Ishanam Bhuta Bhavyasya. Knowing that, Na Tato Vijugupsate, then he does not suffer. He does not struggle to protect this little body. Knows this body will go. Let it go in good works. Let it experience its prarabdha and go in its good time. I am not limited by this. I am one with God. I am one with that Ishanam Bhuta Bhavyasya. The Lord who controls the entire universe with the power of Maya. He is called Saguna Brahman. That same Lord in this little body and mind is called Virat, I. We are one. Why should I bother about this little body? Let it go. Vijugupsate does not try to protect, does not try to struggle, does not hate anything. Vijugupsate, what does it say? Does not want to save the self. We are always trying to protect ourselves. When you realize this, you will get a sense of certainty and security. Wittgenstein, the great philosopher, he says, religion is nothing but a search for ultimate security, for absolute security. He's not committing that he is believing in religion or not, but he says underlying the search for religion, for God, is a search for absolute security. Can I be something which will never be hurt again? Physically hurt by disease and death, socially hurt by insult and frustration and all that, mentally hurt by suffering, sadness, misery, intellectually hurt by ignorance. No, I will not be hurt at all. I'm searching. Is it possible? Religion says it is possible. There is something. That consciousness, unchanging consciousness, when I realize myself. Number six.
Yav purvam tapaso jatam adhya purvam ajayata guham pravishyatishthantam yo bhute bhir vyapashyata. Etad vaitat, Yama says to Nachiketa,
that very Brahman, Satchidananda Brahma, with Maya, now there is a cosmic mind, he enters into it and becomes Hiranyagarbha. The term which I said?
Yes.
Consciousness with Maya and cosmic mind is called Hiranyagarbha. Same consciousness with our individual ignorance and with a particular mind is called Taijasa. That consciousness alone, behind the cosmic mind, behind your own mind, witness of your mind now, is Brahman, the unchanging self. Etad vaitad, this is that which you asked for, Nachiketa. This is what you wanted to know.
Ya pranena sambhavati aditir devatamai guham pravishyatishthantim ya bhute bhirgajayata etad vaitad.
So, this is number 7. Again, he's talking about Hiranyagarbha. That same Brahman, through cosmic maya, through the cosmic subtle body, is actually appearing as all devatas before you. All the devatas in religion, the gods in religion you worship, are none other than this pure consciousness identified with cosmic mind, cosmic prana, Hiranyagarbha only. That same term you apply. Then, so it will go on like this. Come to 10. 2.1.10.
Yadeveha tadamutra yadamutra tadanviha mrityosa mrityumapnoti yaiha naneva pashyati.
Beautiful verse, beautiful mantra. What does it mean? Whatever is there, Satchidananda Brahma, follow this carefully. Whatever is there, Satchidananda Brahma, is here also. Whatever is here, is there also.
Yad eva iha,
what is here, tad amutra, that's there. The transcendent nirguna nirakara Brahma, or Ishvara, whatever you call it, saguna Brahman, that is this one only. And whatever is here, whatever is there, is here. Whatever is here, is there. Whatever is there, is here. Yad amutra, what is there, Satchidananda Brahma, tad anu iha, that's here also, within you also.
What he has said here is tremendous.
What does he want to say? We keep hearing Advaita tells us, Aham Brahmasmi, I am Brahman. But it's the opposite is also true. Brahman is you. How is it different? I am Brahman and Brahman is me. It's the same thing. No, there's a very interesting thing. I am Brahman means what? If I am Brahman, what is Brahman? Sat Chit Ananda. If I am Brahman, then what I thought myself to be, this body, I cannot be this body. If I am Brahman, I cannot be this mind inside. I am existence, consciousness, bliss. That is the meaning, I am Brahman. Brahman is me. What does it mean? Other than you, the pure consciousness, there is no other God. No Brahma, Vishnu, Maheshwara, other than you, the real you. What a tremendous thing to say. You are none other than God. There is no other God except you, the real you. I'll repeat this again. What a tremendous thing to say. You, the real you, you are none other than God. And God is none other than you. There is no God apart from you. Swami Premeshananda, this one's senior Swami told me this story. He said he used to go to Swami Premeshananda, who was regarded as a Brahmagyani. He was a disciple of Holy Mother, Masharatha. The book some of you may have read, Go Forward, Letters of Swami Premeshananda. So this Swami when he was a young student, he used to visit Swami Premeshananda, who inspired him to become a monk and all that. One day, he bowed down to Swami Premeshananda, who was lying down in the bed. And Swami Premeshananda extended one finger like this and touched him here. Just touched him. So with like a shock, you know, he was startled. He went back. And Premeshananda said in Bengali, "Oi, oi, oi, oi je chomke galo. O chada kono shala ishwarni." That which was startled, that consciousness there. Other than that, there is no rascal called God. Literally, he's saying this. What does it mean? It does not mean that young man is God. It means that consciousness working through the mind and body as the Vishwa there. Vishwa. That consciousness in itself is God. That is God. There is no God other than that. He says, Yad eva iha tad amutra. That which is right here, that is none other than Brahman. Yad amutra. That which is Satchidananda Brahma. Tadanu iha. That is right there. You are none other than God. There is no God apart from you. Tremendous assertion. Then, Mrityu Samrityu, warning. Yamaraja is saying, Mrityu Samrityu Mapnoti, Yaiha Naneva Pashyati. Those who realize this oneness, we are all one Brahman. That is the goal, you will be free. If you do not realize it, then what is the result? Terrible result. Says he, one who sees the least bit of difference here, Nana. Nana means difference here in this universe. You see difference, but you don't consider it to be real. If you think that there is a real difference, I am here this much and you are all different from me. One who sees difference like this, he will go from death to death. That means he will be subject to the cycle of birth and death. He'll live this life and again will have desires. Why will you have desires? Because I am limited. You are different from me. There are things which I want. I have desires. I have things which I want. So I need another birth. I will do certain actions to get those things. Karma. Karma phala will come. To get that karma phala, I have one more birth. And it will go on like this. Mrityu sa mrityu mapnoti. Now Yamaraja is being unnecessarily harsh. He should have said, Janma mrityu. You'll be born and you'll die again, you'll be born. But he's a lord of death. He's stressing his own department. You will go from death to death. Terrible statement. From death to death, he will wander for millennia, for millions of years, until you come to this realization that you are all one reality. When you see difference, there will be desire. There will be fear, there will be desire. That which I see as different from me, Dvaita Darshana. Dvaita Darshana here does not mean God is different, I am different, I worship God, that's good. That Dvaita leads to Advaita. I want to be one with God. But this Dvaita, that I am different from the world, here are things which I hate, I want to be away from that. Here are things which I love, I want to get that. And then I start working to get certain things and to avoid certain things. To enrich this limited person which I think I am. Difference. This is born from Bheda Buddhi, Dvaita Buddhi. Then Advaita Buddhi, when you remove all that Nanatva, difference, all desire will go away. Oh, it will be a boring life, no desires. No, it's not that all desires will not be there, you'll be like a stock or stone. No, you will be aptakama. All desires will be fulfilled. You'll be completely satisfied. You'll be full of joy. Oneness satisfies all desires. After all, what is desire? I want that thing to become one with me. I want it. It should become mine. That is desire. That's the nature of desire. I'll tell you a little story and I'll end it now. How Advaita Darshana helps us to completely over, not helps us, immediately eliminates all desire. Kashi Desh ki Rajkumari? I've not heard. Very good. It's a well-known story, and if you hear it once, you'll never forget it. It's a well-known story in Uttarakhand, in among the Himalayan Swamis and Advaita. There was a kingdom, and once there was a play, a drama was staged in the court of the king. And in that drama, in that play, one of the characters was Kashi Desh ki Rajkumari, the princess of Kashi. Kashi is a place. Banaras. The princess of Kashi. This kingdom was not Kashi, something else. The princess of Kashi. Now, who will play that role? So there was a little boy, the prince of that kingdom, who was only 5 years old at that time. He was a very cute boy. So the mother said, queen said, dress him up as a little girl. And he can play the role of the princess of Kashi. So they dressed him up as a princess. And it was so nice. He looked so cute. The mother was so happy to see that, you know, the wonderful dress. She told the court painter to paint a picture of him. And they painted a picture of him. Now, years passed. Decade passed. 15 years passed. Now that prince has grown up. He's a young man now, learning horse riding and all the duties of being a prince and everything. One day he was exploring the old palace. And he went into a storage room underground. A lot of rubbish had accumulated stuff. And he was just seeing what all is there. Then he saw this picture, portrait. And he wiped the dust of the portrait. And he saw the prettiest little girl. And he saw the date. And he saw it's written Kashi Deshki Rajkumar, the princess of Kashi. 15 years ago. So she must be my age now. And he fell in love with her. And he came up, but he was so shy. He didn't want to tell his mother, didn't want to tell his father. But he stopped eating, he wouldn't go to his lessons and all this. And his mother was worried. She noticed it first. His father was worried. Why is this boy suddenly become so, uninterested in everything? Mother tried to coax it out of him. He couldn't tell. He was shy. Then finally, the old wise minister took him aside and said, Prince, tell me. You can tell me frankly. What is your problem? Why have you suddenly become like this? He said, what will I tell you? You see, there is this girl I met and I have fallen in love with her and I have to marry her. Only that girl I will marry. Minister said, which girl? That's all right. You are the prince. You can marry the girl. Who is this girl? She is the princess of Kashi. Oh, princess of Kashi. Where did you meet her? So I haven't met her exactly. I have seen her picture. Oh, you have seen her picture. And something clicked in the mind of the minister. You seen the picture of the princess of Kashi? Where? Well, actually it's an old picture. She was a little kid at that time. And now she must be older. But I know, I want to marry this girl. Then the minister thought, where did you see this picture? In our storeroom. You take me to that place. So he took the minister downstairs into the basement, opened the storeroom and took out the picture. The minister saw that and he told the prince, you need to sit down. What? Many, many years ago, such a play was staged and then this girl was the princess of Kashi, she played that role. So it is a picture, it's not the real princess of Kashi, it is just the person who played that role, and that's so many years ago. And the prince says, okay, whoever it is, may not be princess of Kashi, but that girl I want to marry. Well, prince, actually the fact is, you were a little boy at that time, and your mother asked us to dress you up as the princess of Kashi. And you were dressed up the princess of Kashi, and you did such a good job of it, that it was painted by the court painter, and that is the painting, Tat Tvam Asi. You are that. Now, interesting thing, what happened to the desire of the prince to marry the princess of Kashi? The desire went away, but why did it go away? Because of frustration, that, oh, I cannot marry the princess of Kashi. Not because of frustration, because of oneness. I and that are one. What do I want? What is the thing which I want? I and that are one. There is no other princess of Kashi apart from me. I am that. That is me. What is here is there also. What is there is here also. I am the reality which appears in that name and form. Immediately, because of oneness, the desire is actually completely and totally satisfied. There is no desire possible. How can you desire yourself? You always have yourself. You can only desire something apart from yourself. When the jnani sees oneness everywhere, what is there? Who will desire what? Who will want what? He or she is completely full, completely satisfied all the time. Anything in the world he sees is I alone, I Satchidananda. What is there is here too, what is here is there too. Who sees nanatva, he will go from death to death. Who sees oneness, we'll realize Brahman here itself. We'll have no need for another birth. What will he do with another body? He's one with the universe. Whole universe is our Kashi Desh ki Rajkumari in ignorance. When the Guru comes and says, Tat Tvamasi, there is nothing there outside which is not already there within you. Then we become fulfilled, completed, one, Advaitam. Advaitam, not two. There is no Kashi Desh ki Rajkumari, Princess of Kashi, apart from you. No second thing is there apart from you. Then he says, okay. Two, one, fourteen and fifteen. The result of this knowledge we'll see. Yato dakam durge vrishtam parvateshu vidhavati evam dharman prithak pashyan tanevanu vidhavati. As water falling on a high place, it runs down in several streams down the hillside and it finally gets lost in the hill. It gets absorbed back into the hill. In the same way, one who sees manifoldness here is born again and again and dies again and again. Runs in various courses. Taneva vidhavati. We follow different courses in life as long as we see manifoldness. When you see oneness, 15th verse, 15th mantra. Yato dakam shuddhe shuddham asiktam tadrigeva bhavati evam munir vijanata Atma Bhavati Gautama. O Nachiketa, the one who realizes Brahman, just like water, pure water being poured into pure water, it becomes one. The pure water here, pure consciousness seen everywhere, it becomes one. This little barrier of individuality is destroyed. It dissolves. I become one with the universe just as pure water poured into pure water. There is no more running in different courses, going from birth to death, or as Yama said, from death to death, you become immortal. The result of jnana is immortality, moksha, freedom. The result of ajnana is punarjanma, going through this birth cycle of birth and death, of happiness and misery, of various experiences in life till we come to oneness. Now let me chant and we will conclude.
Om Shanti 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 Hari Om Tat Sat Shri Ram Krishna Paramastu.
Before we do question answers, are the kids there?
Yeah.
Should we have the program? Yarinya has given, yes.
The last one is
Vadi and Prativadi.
Vadi and Prativadi.
Yes.
At Atman level, how can there be a Vadi and a Prativadi?
Vadi Prativadi at the level of the Atman. But without the Atman, even at the body level, there's nothing there. It's like saying that at the level of the wood, how can there be table or chair? True. But without the wood, there can be no table or chair. At the level of Satchidananda, no Vadi and Prativadi. But without Satchidananda, there will be no Prativadi and Vadi or Prativadi anyway. The Prativadi disappears without Satchidananda. Who can be a Vadi or Prativadi? Only Vishwa. Satchidananda plus Ajnana plus mind plus body. Then that person can be a Vadi or Prativadi. But without Satchidananda, mind and body and all, nothing will exist. So in that sense, Vidyaranya is saying, Not at the level of Satchidananda only, but Satchidananda plus body and mind. Okay, shall we have the program now? Mm-hmm. Yes, of course.
Maharaj, the kids will recite the poem written by Swami Vivekananda. It's called The Living God.
Yes.
Can we give the mic?
Yes. To switch it on.
Is it switched on?
No, not on.
Okay.
He who is in you and outside you, he who works through all hands and walks on all feet, he whose body are all ye, him worship. like all other idols. He who is at once the high and low, the sinner and saint, both God and from him worship visible, knowable, real, omnipresent, break all other idols.
And whom is neither past, past, nor future, birth, nor death, and whom may always have been and always shall be one, him worship, break all other idols.
Ye fools, who neglect the living God and his infinite reflections with which the world is full, while ye run after imaginary shadows which lead alone to fights and quarrels, him worship, the only visible, break all other idols.
Beautiful. Just one more?
Yes, Maharaj. They will do the translation of Nirvana Ashtakam again written by Swami Vivekananda.
Okay, just one point here. You see, what they were chanting, that the one reality in all, working through all hands and feet, in all bodies and minds, that is the term which we used, Virat. He says that is the reality. That alone is worshipped in different idols. If you take an idol as apart from that, it's just in an imagination. It is that Virat alone which is worshipped as Narayana, as Vishnu, as Vishwarupa, all of that. That is the living God, Swami Vivekananda says. Alright, Nirvana Shatakam now.
I am neither the mind, nor the intellect, nor the ego, nor the mind stuff. I am neither the body, nor the changes of the body. I am neither the senses, hearing, taste, smell, or sight. I am existence, absolute, knowledge, absolute, bliss, absolute. I am he, I am he. Shivoham, Shivoham. I am neither prana, nor the five vital airs. I am neither the materials of the body, nor the five sheets. Neither am I the organs of action, nor the object of senses. I am existence, absolute. Knowledge, absolute. Bliss, absolute. I am he, I am he. Shivoham, Shivoham. I am neither aversion nor attachment, neither greed nor delusion, nor egotism nor envy, nor dharma nor moksha. I am neither desire nor object of desire. I am existence absolute, knowledge absolute, bliss absolute. I am he, Shivoham, Shivoham.
Wonderful.
I am neither sin nor virtue, neither pleasure nor pain, nor temple nor worship, nor pilgrimage nor scriptures, neither the act of enjoying, the enjoyable, nor the enjoyer. I am existence absolute, knowledge absolute, bliss absolute. I am he, Shivoham, Shivoham. I have neither death nor fear of death nor caste. I was ever born, nor had I parents, friends, and relations. I have neither guru nor disciple. I am existence absolute, knowledge absolute, bliss absolute. I am he, Shivoham, Shivoham. I am untouched by the senses. I am neither mukti nor knowable. I am without form, without limit, beyond space, beyond time. I am everything. I am the basis of the universe. Everywhere am I. I am existence absolute, knowledge absolute, bliss absolute. I am he, Shivoham, Shivoham.
Wonderful.
Let us congratulate the teachers also.
Oh, who are the teachers? Come. Come, come. Asmita, all your friends, come. Congratulations. Take one more. Yes. Congratulations. Very good.
Does anything have nuts in it?
You can't take nuts?
Yeah, I'm allergic to all nuts.
You take this, and it's got caramel also, but You just see, but don't take it, but show it to your mom before you take it. Otherwise, it'll be bad.
Both of them?
You take both of them.
And ask my mom.
Yeah, ask your mom. What's your name? Pranav, okay. What's your name?
Varun.
Hello. Of course you'll get it. It's a special one for you. And one more.
Thank you, Wala.
Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you.
Maharaj. Maharaj, one more.
Yes. Come. Shy. Chalo. You have a question? Yeah.
So, in the Ashtagam, they said, I'm neither the act of enjoyment nor enjoyer.
Enjoy and enjoyable.
How is we not the enjoyer?
Bhokta, bhogya, and aham bhojanam naiva nang naiva bhojyam na bhokta. That's the line. Literally it means bhojanam is the food, bhojanam is eating, and bhojyam is the thing which is eaten, and bhokta is the one who eats. It's like it can be applied to any act in our lives. You perceive something, so you are the perceiver. There's an act of perceiving and this is the perceived. Now he's saying, I am neither this, nor the act of perceiving, nor even the perceiver. You see, normally what do we identify ourselves with? I am the perceiver, I am the enjoyer. When I eat a chocolate, chocolate is the bhojyam, I am eating, that is bhojanam, I am the bhokta, enjoyer, experiencer. That is ajnana. This is what we are all hitting against. How are you the bhokta? Consciousness limited by mind and limited by body becomes the bhokta. Consciousness alone is the bhokta. You are the bhokta, but limited by body and mind. As pure consciousness, you are not bhokta. Chidananda Rupa Shivoham is bhokta of what? Nothing. You can say both ways. I am the bhokta, I am the bhojyam, I am the bhojanam. Jnani. I am not the bhokta, I am not the bhojyam, not the bhojanam. Jnani. But when you say I am bhokta, this is my bhojyam, and I am consuming it, bhojanam, then ajnani. Our condition is, I am this much only. That is my food. I am eating it. This is Dvaita Darshanam. Exactly the same thing as Kashi Deshki Rajkumari. I am something separate. Kashi Deshki Rajkumari is something separate. The prince says, I will marry her. I am this prince, that is Princess of Kashi, and then there is this marrying Princess of Kashi. When he realizes, I and that one are one. Right? Then there is no separate Princess of Kashi and no marrying or anything is possible. Similarly, you realize yourself as Satchidananda Brahman. It is equally true for you to say that, I am not the experiencer, I am not the experience, I am not the experienced. Or it's true for you to say, I am the experiencer, experienced and experience.
Yesterday when we talked about the
Panchakosha Viveka, yes.
We were continuously hitting on who the experiencer is.
Yes. In itself, you are not the that pure consciousness, only through body and mind becomes the experiencer. But that pure consciousness is not the experiencer actually. It's apart from the body and mind. You see, in identification with the body and mind, I can be called the experiencer. Who is going to eat the food? I who? Consciousness is not going to eat chawal and dal. Consciousness animating this body and mind becomes the eater. In identification with the body, body eats. In identification to body, I say, I am the eater. But when I do panchakosha viveka, so I am not the body, not the mind, then I am not the eater also. When you say, yesterday we were trying to find out who the experiencer is, we are trying to find out the truth about the experiencer. The experiencer is always experiencer in combination with body and mind. Otherwise, by itself, it's not an experiencer. That's what is meant here. You can say, I am the experiencer, but when jnana comes, then I'll be one with everything. The thing which is experienced, the experiencing itself, and the experiencer, all of it I am. Or you can say, none of it I am. Both are equally true to say. It is equally true to say, I am nothing of this. Also true to say, I am everything of this. Advaita Vedanta, it seems contradictory, but it's correct. Both are correct.
Maharaj, we are ready whenever
you. Alright, there's one last question. Two questions.
Why should we refer to two terms as Brahman and Atman at all?
It's a good question. And simple and straight answer. We are looking for the ultimate reality. Now, ultimate reality is one, Satchidananda, according to Advaita Vedanta. But all our experience in life, we are always accustomed to experiencing things as subject and object. I and this. Isn't it all our experience throughout, even the Vedanta class? You are there and you are experiencing a Vedanta class here. You are always experiencing as I and this Vedanta class. So everything that we experience, now we are going to have food. Our experience will be I and the food. So subject object is always there in all our experiences. To help us to understand the ultimate reality, that ultimate reality within the subject is called Atma. That ultimate reality behind this world object is called Brahman. And then they say Atman and Brahman are the same.
So it's only to make us understand.
Yes, because it is in the terms of our own experience, the way we experience. When you look inside, it is self. When you look outside, it is God. The reality behind the universe is God. The reality within me is, we say, the real I, who am I? When I search for who is God, I'm searching for the cause of this universe. When I search for myself, who am I? I'm searching for Atma. Look at the Mahavakya. Tat Tvam Asi. That Thou art. Thou is the reality within you, Atma. That is the reality of the universe, Brahman. Brahman is Atman. Aham Brahmasmi. What are you doing? I am Brahman. I, the Atma, am Brahman, the reality of this universe. I am Atma Brahman. This Atman is Brahman. This Atman is the reality within. It is the same as the reality of this universe.
That there itself we have separated I and outside, here and there.
Not there itself. We have always separated it. Now in the Mahavakya we are finding out the oneness of it. Have we not always separated it? All the time we are separating I and that. That's the only way we can experience. Except deep sleep. When we have dreams or in waking state. Always I and that. We are not doing it on purpose. This is the way we experience things. So Advaita also has to be explained to us in terms of reality of the I and reality of that. When you search for the reality of that, you are looking for God. When you search for reality within, you are looking for Atma. And what Advaita tells you is, Brahman and Atman are the same reality. It's only because we experience as subject-object, we have to talk about Atma-Brahma. These are not two things.
So then there are two questions. Who am I and who is God?
Yes, yes. Who am I and what is God? Or what is... Actually, even God, you can drop. We have got only two things. I and that. Think about it. Is there anything else from childhood, from my birth till today? Have I experienced anything except I and that? Parents, father, mother, school, toys, everything that I saw was that and I. Even here we are experiencing as I and that or this. Subject and object. That's all we have experienced. And now what Vedanta is telling us, you can ask two questions. What is the reality within me? And what is the reality? What is the secret of this? Vedanta says, the secret of this is Satchidananda. And then what am I? Satchidananda. The two are same. Atma and Brahman are same. That's what they are trying to explain here. And the secret is, don't start with that. Start with yourself. That's why I am not... First see what you consider yourself to be. Why I consider myself to be the body. Then you see why I am not the body, why I am not the prana, why I am not the mind, why I am not the buddhi, why I am not the anandamaya kosha and deep sleep. I am the pure consciousness, witness of the five koshas, which we did yesterday. That I, that today it was revealed as the ground of the entire universe. With the Maya Shakti, that consciousness alone becomes the cause of the entire universe. A Sufi poet, I sometimes quote him, says, I'm looking for God, Allah. When I searched for God, I found myself. When I searched for myself, I found God. That is Advaita.
So, this was just a teaser, a trailer to interest you in Kathopanishad. Kathopanishad itself is a wonderful study which you must study by yourself. And today in the evening we shall speak about the great phenomenon. Christopher Isha would say this is the story of a phenomenon, Sri Ramakrishna. Today evening's talk is on Sri Ramakrishna.